Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
You know, Tasha and I were talking earlier about New Year's resolutions. That's always a hot button topic that comes about on January 1st. So I know that you have some things that you want to be able to accomplish this new year. They may be mental, they may be physical, they may be spiritual, they may be emotional goals. And as we look back at our past, I think our past is very critical for us to understand before we can go on to our new beginning, our new season. And one of the things I think is always so cool to think about is the name of the church. It is so amazing how people can come up with names for churches. But if you really look at what the church is, it's a group of people. It's a group of people coming together to move forward to glorify God. So before we jump off into our new beginnings, I wanted us to think about, where did our church name come from? Where did the Path originate? And so I had some time to talk to Mike, and Mike shared with me that he was studying out some stuff in the Old Testament several years ago, and what he kept seeing was a reoccurring theme of the path, being on a path, the path to righteousness, so forth and so on. And God put it on his heart to give the name of the church the path. And one of those scriptures that he came about has been on my heart for quite some time as I've been studying out the Old Testament from the Eastern or Jewish perspective. So if you will, turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It says, thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We know Jeremiah had a difficult time trying to communicate with the Israelites. They were a little bit stubborn, but Jeremiah shared what God put on his heart. The scripture talks about looking for the ancient path, talks about how we should go to our elders and ask them, what is the way that we should follow? And when you look at the Hebrew and break some of this down and look at some of the Talmud, which is the Hebrew commentary on the Old Testament, it talks about finding the path, knowing the path and walking the path. And what they're referring to is the Word of God. Man, that blew me away to know that one of the underlying meanings of our church name is the Bible, the Word of God. And we understand the importance of the Word of God. It's our relationship with God, the most important aspect of Christianity. They were speaking again, and I want you to write this down. Knowing the path and walking the path. Knowing our scriptures, being with God, and having practical application of the word in our lives. Now, that means we have to study our Bibles. That means we need to have healthy one another relationships. That means that we need to walk this out. Now, we are not going to be perfect. We know that we are going to blow it. We know that we are going to fall short. Heck, I fell short 25 times this morning before I even made it to the building. My wife sent me a text message. Why couldn't you help make up the bed? I'm running late. I was selfish because I'm trying to do what I want to do. And so I blew it all the way to preach this message. But you know what? God always has a plan for us. And you know, brothers and sisters, we blow it too. We all blow it. When I looked at the Hebrew word for sin, there's four different words in Hebrew that refers to sin. Now, we don't have time to study all those out right now. I asked our brother Jazz to give us a Hebrew lesson in the new year as he finishes up his Hebrew studies in his divinity master's degree. But that's a bloody discussion, later discussion. But the one I do want us to focus on is the word asam. Asam. And it means guilt. But if you really look at it, it's not the guilt that we tend to associate in our English language. The way that Hebrew scholars describe this form of sin, they describe it as if there's a camel on the path. And the camel is just downright tired, downtrodden, beaten, and they just have a seat. They just stop. They don't move any more forward on the path. And when it comes to the end of a year, we can kind of be like that too. We can be like, look here, brother, I need a break. I heard many of brothers that I've talked to at the end of 2021 saying, Jackson, I just need a break. I was one of them brothers. We may be to the point where we're like, man, ain't nobody showing up to small group. I'm sitting there cutting on the Zoom all by myself, me and my wife. And you may be discouraged because there's no fellowship. Or maybe you're just uninspired because things are not going your way and panning out the plan that you have. Heck, some of us, most of us, been in isolation at some point in time for the last 5 days, 10 days, 14 days. Who knows how long it is now? I think it's 5 days now. But if you look at the last 2 years, we've been in isolation, theoretically. And the fellowship has been lacking. And when that happens, sometimes you can feel neglected. But as I said, God always has a way. In Leviticus chapter 4, the scriptures talk about a guilt offering. The guilt offering was a type of offering that God developed for the Israelites to get them moving up, to get them to stand up and keep moving forward on the path. He had an opportunity for the Israelites not just to sit there and muddle about what they've done and the things that have happened, but he says, if you sacrifice to me in this way, then get up, move forward. I am with you. It's almost like having a new beginning. You know, we can be discouraged at the end of 2021. We could have some disillusionment going on. We can sometimes feel disrespected or dismayed. I know during the end when we were transitioning out of the parking lot service, I was like, man, I'm tired of this parking lot service mess. This has got to stop. And when we finally came to the point where it was over, me and my brother Jazz, because we did a lot of the organizing, we said, whoo, brother, thank you. It's over. We get to get a break. And then Brother Maldonado comes along and says, hey, guess what? We have temporary occupancy. We can have church in the building. Jazz and I was like, no, no, we need a break, brother. And so we had to work through our hearts. But I'm going to tell you, I was there at the end of 2021. I'm like, I need a break. I'm going to sit down on the path, and I'm going to take a momentary silence for Jackson. But, you know, we all have to really look at our hearts and evaluate where we are with God. But as I look at our people, you guys were amazing. Man, there were people that were coming out in parking lot service. It was cold. It was wet. It was windy. It got hot. Perseverance was the epitome of you brothers and sisters at the path. So much to the point where I was inspired when we did the count and just to see the number of people that just wanted to worship God, that just wanted to be in fellowship. And I tell you, man, it really showed me the power of God. It showed me the love that God has for us to give us a new beginning. And it's so amazing that we get this opportunity right at the beginning of the new year. So brothers and sisters, this is our new beginning, 2022. And that's the title of my message today, Our New Beginning. How do we move forward is the question. How do we move forward? With gratitude, with thanksgiving. God, you could not have planned it better that our theme would be grateful right as we enter this new year and we enter this new building with our new beginning. God gave the Israelites a way to be grateful as well for that guilt offering. We see that over in Leviticus chapter 7. I'm going to actually ask you to turn to Leviticus chapter 7. Now, when was the last time you studied out Leviticus? One recommendation is don't start your Bible studies with Leviticus. You may get all confused, all right? Don't do that. You might want to spend some time in the New Testament, but amen. We're going to read out of Leviticus this morning, okay? In Leviticus chapter 7, this is where God gives the people the fellowship offering. And it was a way for God to allow the people to show their hearts for what he has done in their lives. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12. If they offer it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thanks offering, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, and thick loaves of the finest flour, well keyed and oil mixed in. Now, there's a lot of stuff there with food and unleavened bread and oil, but the focus I want you to pay attention to is the expression of thankfulness. This offering was designed to be thankful. No more, no less. So if you look at Greek word here, the Greek word for fellowship, is shilam mialim. Now, Jazz, you can criticize me on my enunciation later. I tried my best, brother. Another one of the words for fellowship is asaphat. The Greek equivalent for fellowship is koinonia. Now, we probably studied that out before. You've heard that before, koinonia. And these words basically pretty much all mean a combination of different things. And I want to go through that because I want us to understand the power of the fellowship offering. So the first one is sacrifice for alliance or sacrifice for friendship. Hence the word sacrifice. It means to gather, to collect. It also means to heal. Never thought that fellowship could mean to heal. And then the last one is complete. Fellowship means complete. So this Jewish word, this Hebrew word, also the root word for it, has some connotations of agriculture as well. God talks a lot about gathering your grain together. So there's a hint of food associated with fellowship. The other root portion of the word has Asaphat in it, who we know was David's chief musician. So fellowship also has undertones of singing and praising and worshiping to God like Keegan was leading us in. So when we look at fellowship as it comes together, we see food, we see singing, we see praise, we see people collective coming together to worship God. Fellowship, thankfulness, peace, complete. Now that is an incredible way to start off the new year, amen, to start off our new beginning. I want us to know the path and walk the path. Say it with me again. Know the path, walk the path. The major point that I have for you this morning, when we are in fellowship with God first and then with each other, it is our way to show gratitude to God. And that will bring peace in our hearts and that will make us complete. Repeat after me. I am complete. I am complete. New Testament gives us the exact playbook on how to do this. We studied this out earlier in, the latter part of 2021 when we looked at our homecoming series in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Now, I encourage you, you know the scripture. I know all of you biblical scholars out there know the scripture, but turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 with me. There's nothing like reading from God's word and allowing that word to do something new in your heart. Here we have the recipe. We have the playbook. And all we have to do is run the play. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, appropriately named Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, it's very critical to consider that these people were devoted. Devotion. Think about what you are willing to do no matter what to get what you want. We all know what that thing is. You're devoted to that thing. I'm devoted to my orthopedic career. So these people were devoted to the fellowship. Now, in Christian circles, let's be honest, we love to say that we're devoted to the doctrine and we're devoted to prayer, but usually we just say, I got fellowship. I'm in the fellowship. How is your fellowship? It's like, come on, guys, we've got to be devoted. This is something that needs to be exuded from our pores. This is the heart of the first century church. They just didn't simply have fellowship. They were devoted to the fellowship. Remember the Hebrew definition. It talks about sacrifice for alliance, sacrifice for friendship. So we have to have that same heart. The fellowship involves all of the disciples. Whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, or you have one friend or 100 friends, the fellowship is everybody. The fellowship involves our families, our friends, our network. We want to invite them into our lives. Fellowship, you know, the essence of what I like to think of fellowship is just sitting down, getting a cup of coffee or having dinner with a couple and sharing life. As many of you know, that is one of my favorite scriptures. And that's going to be your memory scripture for today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It says, we were like mothers caring for newborn children, so we cared for you. We loved you so much, not only to share the gospel of God, but also our lives. Sharing life, the essence of the fellowship. Now, fellowship has this idea of not only, you know, us coming together and, you know, having food and singing and praising, but it also has a physical and an emotional element to it as well. Remember the earlier definition talks about healing. Fellowship is also healing. And we know, boy, not only 2021, but in our lives, we talked about the past and how we must embrace that and go through that and work through some of the deep wounds of life. Fellowship is designed for the divorced. Fellowship is designed for the abused. Fellowship is designed for the ones who are neglected. Fellowship is designed for the jobless. Fellowship is designed for the brother or sister that just got released from the penitentiary and they're trying to find their way back into society. All of those individuals can begin the process of healing with fellowship. Jesus gives us the fellowship. He starts the process, and we continue that journey along the path, bringing other people into the fellowship so they can start their healing as well. That's what we are known for, brothers and sisters, at the path. We meet people where they are with fellowship. You know, I love fellowship. I love it. Some people might call me a fellowship junkie. I know my wife does. And I love Christmas. And many of you will come to know as you watch the medical response team video that I had COVID during Christmas. And I wanted to share a little bit about what I was feeling and what I was going through because I was struggling, man. I wasn't physically sick, but I was emotionally and spiritually hurting because I had to sit in my guest bedroom for 5 days. 5 days with no fellowship. Now, amen, there's technology. I had brothers calling me. I had a couple of Zooms. My wife knocked on the door and slid my food, you know, to me. But I'm telling you, man, nothing is like being with people. I was struggling not being able to be with people. I even had a brother who's like, hey, man, I had planned for us to get together 2 days and hang out. He's like, well, that ain't going to happen. I'm stuck here in this doggone room. And it's so funny how God works. My three favorite days of the year, 22nd, 23rd, and the 24th of December. Those are my three favorite days. I love the anticipation of Christmas. And just hanging out on Christmas Eve with Tasha, and we're running errands and we're chopping it up with the kids and we're doing stuff. Not this year, Jack. Not this year. I was sitting in my little chair, reading my little heart away, sending stuff to everybody. I definitely got some good time with God. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. All that knowledge that I acquired during those days of isolation and quarantine, what happens if I just keep that to myself? What happens if I don't bring that back into the fellowship of what God has put on my heart and what he has allowed me to learn and study? See, that's the heart of the fellowship. Even though I was dying, I was starving because I didn't have any, God gave me an opportunity to learn some new things so that I can share it with other people. And that's our heart that we want to have. So write this one down. Write this one down. We have to have healthy one another relationships. We have to have healthy one another relationships via deep fellowship. It has to be our heart. It has to be who we are as the body of Christ. In our new beginning, in our new home, we are going to do that. Well, we were going to do that. I was going to have everybody stand up and have a nice time of fellowship and cut this message short. But we don't have that opportunity, but we're going to continue to use the tools that God has given us. So via your phone calls, via your Zoom, via your small groups, I want y'all to fellowship. We're going to take two questions, and it's going to give you a template which to work off of. Reach out to somebody you know. Reach out to somebody that you've been trying to connect with over the holidays. The first question is, in 2022, how do I plan to grow spiritually? What is the one thing that I want to do to go deeper in my relationship with God? Second question, in 2022, how am I going to use my passion, my gift, my talent to serve God and serve his church? So those two questions, I will put those in the small group later on, but the small group me's. And so in your time of fellowship, talk about those things. Talk about how our new beginning is going to make an impact in your network, in the network or the community that the church is in, at your network, at your job. There's no limit to what God can do when we are united in fellowship. You know, we are going to be an incredible congregation because we have this incredible resource. But I want our new beginning to be about relationships. So what would it look like for all of us to be in deep relationship with Jesus, number one, and then with each other to follow? We will then be able to see that we will start a healing process if you need healing, and you will be complete with Jesus when you're in fellowship with him. And fellowship with Jesus starts at the cross. There's no greater place then to understand who our Lord and Savior is than to look at the wood that he was nailed to, to think about the blood that was spilled, the bread that represents the body that was broken, the juice that represents the blood that was spilled for the forgiveness of sins. We do have the opportunity to be complete with God through fellowship with Jesus. It's a time of reflection, but it's also a time of rejoicing, brothers and sisters, that we are here in 2022. We are here in our new building, and we are going to be complete in our new beginning. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for the ability to be able to share life with my brothers and sisters. Thank you, God, for the ability to communicate this morning the message of fellowship, the message of a new beginning, God, that you have given us. We don't deserve a new beginning, Father, but you've given us a way to stand up on the path and get on the path of righteousness and move forward. And God, we do it together as your body of Christ. As we think about the body of your son that was broken so that we could have peace with you, Father. God, is so amazing that not only do you call the fellowship offering an offering of thanksgiving, but it's also referred to as a peace offering. We can have peace with you in 2022, Father. In your holy son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.